in that verse, we're shown about little foxes that were very common in the Old Testament. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom." So we can tell in the Old Testament, that foxes would oftentimes would steal grapes, would spoil entire vineyards around Palestine, around Judea. So that verse talks about a little fox that would come in and do those evil things to their vineyards. God often uses creatures of this world to teach us lessons about life and about our spirituality. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3, uses an ox and a donkey to teach a lesson. In Psalms 32 verse 9, David uses the horse and the mule to teach a lesson. In Job chapter 12 verse 7, Job refers to the beasts and the birds, things that are created all throughout the book of Job, to teach lessons. Lessons that God wanted us as human beings to understand are His creation and are here to teach us lessons. There are also lessons to be learned about from the stork, the turtle, the dove, the crane, the ants, the locust, the coney, the spider, and many other creatures God has placed on the earth and refers to in Scripture to teach us spiritual lessons. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, we're going to learn a little lesson this morning about foxes that creep into our lives. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, here little foxes are used to illustrate a lesson for us. Foxes, jackals, and little foxes are very common in Palestine and are particularly fond of grapes. They often burrow holes in hedges around the gardens or the vineyards. Unless they're strictly watched, will destroy the entire vineyard. They'll take every grape in that vineyard. And they'll multiply many foxes. Their flesh, in fact, was sometimes eaten in the fall or in the autumn when they were grown fat on eating the grapes that they had gorged on. That, according to Burroughs, in his commentary, Song of Solomon, on page 57 to 58. Little foxes, we must recognize the need to bear fruit in our lives. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15, verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my examples." We have to recognize we are responsible for bearing fruit. We must not let anything come in and destroy the fruit of our works as Christians. Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Most of us are familiar with those fruits. We must be careful and watchful for the little foxes that will spoil the vines. That is us. These little foxes can spoil the fruit of the Spirit using small vices, the slight attitudes we have that we often overlook. They are fox-like when they slyly sneak up and overtake us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is a warning that we be not tempted and drawn away. Let us consider some little foxes that spoil the fruit that we should bear. The first one I'd like to talk about is selfishness. Selfishness spoils love. Selfishness is the little fox of our day today. The media and many other writers have nicknamed this the me generation. Self-centeredness, we see, leaves no room for love, no room for care about other people. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24 adds this, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." Selfishness, like a little fox, can creep into our lives and drown out these things that we should be doing, that we are responsible for, care of others, loving and giving of our own goods to help others. Selfishness can destroy lives. We see this in the example of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 31 through 33. Saul was so self-centered, it destroyed his entire life. And in fact, the kingdom was torn away from him because he would not care for others. He would not seek justice. In fact, he tried to destroy his own son, Jonathan, by throwing a spear at his own son, trying to kill him, just like he did to David. Saul was a king appointed over God's people. Self-centeredness destroyed him. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Each person is tempted, in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 says, "Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. When desire it has conceived, Eve gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Our own self-centeredness leads us into temptation. It leads us to sin when we give in to that temptation. Romans chapter 2, verse 8 adds this, "But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, there will be wrath and fury." I should say, and disobey righteousness. The next one I'd like to look at is discontent. Discontent can spoil the spiritual fruit. Haman was very discontent in Esther chapter 5, verse 11. I'd like to turn over to Esther 5. We just read this recently in our Bible class. Esther chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the servants of the king. Then Haman said, 'Even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate.' Then his wife and his friends tell him, 'Go build gallows and hang Mordecai on those gallows.'" Haman was discontent with all the things that he had that are described here in that verse. None of it mattered to him at all as long as he saw Mordecai standing there in the gate. It destroyed him. It spoiled all of his joy. Despite all the good things he had, a little discontent spoiled him. Spoiled everything that he had. We can allow discontent to spoil our joy also. God has given us so much. He has blessed us in every way. He has given us every joy in the spirit and physically. If we allow the little fox of discontent to settle in our heart, it certainly will spoil our joy as it did Haman. How can we guard against discontent in our lives? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" We have that assurance God is always with us. He tells us we should be content with what we have, spiritually and physically. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Another translation says, without complaining. John chapter 16, verse 33 adds this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If the peace of Jesus Christ rules in your heart, if you allow His peace to permeate in your being, in your soul, and in everything that you do, you will be content. You won't be looking for that next fill in the blank. You won't be troubled by the things of this world because Jesus has overcome the world. You won't be worried about the temptation or the lust of the eye or the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, for you won't be seeking those things. You'll be happy with Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart and giving you peace. The next one I'd like to look at is worry. This one I'm sure probably catches a lot of us off guard. The little fox that creeps into our life of worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 19 describes Darius in this way. Darius, his worry spoiled his sleep. It robbed him of his rest. It says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. He was worried that Daniel would be destroyed by the lions. See, he didn't have that trust in God that God would save Daniel. And he was robbed of his sleep. Worry spoils our peace, that fruit of the Spirit. Though there are those who lie awake worrying about tomorrow, what will happen? Will God take care of me? Will I have enough? Do you allow worry to spoil the peace in your life, the peace of your sleep? Martha allowed the little fox of distraction to spoil her peace. She wasn't concerned about the spiritual things. She was worried about the physical around her. Jesus answered her in this way. He says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha wanted Mary to help her with to serve, to be there to give food and those types of things. But Jesus' answer was simple. Pay attention to what's important, that is the spiritual things. And none of these other things we have to worry about. Oftentimes we can get caught up worrying about this, our jobs, or worrying about our school, or worrying about our friends, what they'll think. If we focus our attention wholly on God, study, teaching, living a godly life, all of these things are mundane and they will pass away. But our spirituality counts for everything. That we don't have to worry about. God will take care of the rest. So my question to you is, what worries take your mind off the good part? That one you'll have to answer on your own. The next one I'd like to look at, the next little fox, impatience spoils long-suffering. Impatience is a tough one, isn't it? It's a little fox that wants you to speed things along. You want to get in a hurry and get that next whatever it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Do you ever wonder if God is testing your patience? Do you ever wonder if the things that we go through give us endurance, so that when we have done His will, we'll receive the promise that we have had to wait for, that is the promise of heaven? The promise of our eternal salvation. The things that God tests us with here on earth, that is spiritual things. Things that help us to grow. Things that give us that patience. These are the things God wants us to do. These are the things that God wants us to pass those tests. To prove our patience. Impatience is a very sly fox. It steals our long suffering towards others. You ever gotten angry at someone? You ever thought, wow, if they would just do this my way? Did you ever think about that? Impatience also attempts to excuse our behavior. Well, I was in such a rush that, I knew I had to get that done because impatience oftentimes can, we try to use that as an excuse. That's a temptation that we use. Luke chapter 9, verses 54 through 56. We see the impatience of James and John is illustrated here. James and John said this, when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Imagine if James and John had commanded fire to come down and destroy those people. I thank God that He teaches us patience with others. I thank God that He has patience with me. That He doesn't cause fire to come down and consume me, as James and John wanted to do to these folks because of their impatience. When we try to teach others, when we try to show them God's love, when we try to teach them about Christianity, it requires great patience. I use James and John on purpose because they were impatient. They were trying to teach others and they weren't responding to the gospel. We don't wish fire to come down and consume people we study with. That's impatience. Instead, we show them the type of patience God has towards us. We teach them the type of patience that the people that taught us had. If your parents taught you, if your friend taught you about the gospel, they showed great patience. They certainly did with me, and I hope that they did with you too. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. It shows us what we must do to battle these things, these little sly foxes that come into our lives, that creep in, that try to pull us away from God, that try to destroy our fruits of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. This thought, I think, this verse kind of sums up the thought of how we battle against these sly foxes that we've talked about. God demands, God requests our cooperation in this. We must bring all these arguments to destruction, impatience, worry. These things must be dealt with in our lives. We must bring every lofty opinion raised against Jesus Christ or the knowledge of God into captivity and crush them. All of our thoughts should dwell on Jesus. All of our thoughts should dwell on the Bible. The conclusion of the whole matter, we must go on a little fox hunt, right? The only way to deal with these little foxes is to hunt them all down in our lives and destroy them, to quash them. That is the only way we're going to be productive in God's kingdom, producing the fruits that God designed us to do. I hope this lesson, although it be a little bit short, I think we're leaving a little bit of time at the end for a meeting. I hope that this lesson kind of stirs your thoughts. Abe is going to continue this thought in the second lesson about some more things that we should hunt down, some more things to think about these little sly foxes in our lives. I hope and trust that each one of you has considered your salvation. I hope that you have looked at the Scriptures and understand God's requirements are unyielding. He requires us to hear His Word. He requires us to believe with our minds and with our hearts that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He requires that we repent of all of our sins. He requires that we be baptized, confessing the name of Jesus as Christ and Lord of our lives. That baptism is in water. There is water here this morning that is stand ready. If anyone here this morning would like to be baptized, if you'd like to become a child of God, we can baptize you this morning in the name of Jesus and the Father and of the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God and you have sin in your life that you need to deal with, that you need to repent of, if you would like to request our prayers on your behalf, we would be happy to do so. Together as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.